AUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Jackie Quinn. You've heard of thunder or snow. That's how it started in Buffalo, New York. Surveillance cameras catching the thunder as the winter storm began. Nearly 2 feet of accumulations already on the ground in Hamburg, New York, outside Buffalo. While roadways are covered and a traveler's advisory is in effect, these kids don't mind.
Making big snowmans.
Drinking hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah. Sledding.
Audio courtesy of WKBW-TV. Up to 4 feet of snow could accumulate by the weekend. The NFL has moved the Bills-Browns game to Detroit. North Korea has fired an intercontinental ballistic missile. It landed near Japanese waters, but officials warn it shows the potential for launching nuclear strikes on all of the U.S. mainland. Vice President Kamala Harris in Thailand today, meeting with Asian Pacific leaders, assuring them that the U.S. is a steady trade partner.
Based on collaboration, sustainability, transparency, and fairness.
The Biden administration's asking two federal courts to allow the student loan program to go forward. More from our Norman Hall.
It has asked a federal appeals court in New Orleans to suspend a decision striking down Biden's plan. It intends to ask the Supreme Court to overturn a St. Louis appeals court that halted the plan.
The White House is raising eyebrows with the declaration that Saudi Arabia's crown prince should be immune from litigation surrounding the killing of U.S. journalist Jamal Khashoggi. While campaigning, Joe Biden was a harsh critic. Officials say a 100-year-old building in San Antonio has been damaged by an earthquake that hit Wednesday, hundreds of miles away in the West Texas desert. Russian missiles are again targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure, disrupting supply to as much as 40% of the population. This is AP News.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA.
for Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republicans say the judge who presided over the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial might run for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Judge Jennifer Darrow has not said anything publicly about running in the spring. Dan Kelly, Everett Mitchell, and Janet Claire Protasiewicz are already in the race, which could flip the conservative court if a liberal wins. Cougar sightings in southern Wisconsin this year are higher than in the last 5 years. The Department of Natural Resources confirms 7 cougar sightings across Sauk, Richland, Grant, and Crawford counties in 2022. In sports, the Packers lost to the Titans last night 27-17. Badger volleyball's at Rutgers tonight. Football plays at Nebraska tomorrow. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
You've made the adjustment.
I think I said this a couple days ago, but the adjustment was made a couple weeks. I think as soon as we went from 75 to like what?
We went from 70 who?
Weather-wise.
There was 70 degrees around here?
Yeah, it was like that, what, like last week, wasn't it?
I don't... You don't
remember that, Earl?
Well, let's ask my co-host. It's Friday. And so, Sandy, do you remember anything? He's talking about 70 degrees?
Yeah, it's hard to remember. And he's right. 8 days ago, we were dressed for summer, it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold all over the nation, Sandy.
I couldn't believe it, man. The map, but one thing we can count our lucky stars.
Didn't get the snow.
We don't live in Buffalo, New York.
Right, man. 3 feet of snow they're talking about.
Yeah. Maybe 4. It was like they were talking. When we talk about 2 to 4 inches, they're talking about 2 to 4 feet.
I know.
Well, we don't know. It's kind of like one or two yards of snow.
You know, Sandy and Connor, you know, winter doesn't officially start until December 21st. I mean, that's on the map. It tells you. That's when winter officially starts, and so this weather we're getting is January weather.
Yeah, that's what I used to think when I was a kid, but I'm an adult now, so.
So what?
So,
the calendar doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I remember my grandma used to say.
When did you declare adulthood? When did you declare adulthood?
I was joking, but no. When I was a kid, I would always say, "Oh, it's winter," or "No, it's winter doesn't start until December." My grandma would say, "No, it's now," because it would just start having massive snowstorms in Chicago in like November. It was just, you know, that's what it was.
Yeah, you know,
that's the way Milwaukee is in the spring. Spring happens like one day, and like May 4th, we have
it just comes out of nowhere.
We like, oh, well, winter to summer, yeah.
Well, the good thing is if we can survive a few more days of these 20-degree temperatures, 45 degrees, which is the normal temperature for this time of year, we're going back to the 40s. And I think we'll celebrate the 40s, right?
Yeah, and then don't you remember, like in the spring when it turns 45, people put their tops down on their cars, yeah. And they're like,
yeah, you know when you live in the Midwest, and I don't know, Sandy, you've lived in warmer climates, have you? I mean, I don't know.
No. I've never lived in any place warmer than New York City. Was as far south as I ever lived. It is.
So you certainly had the ability to move to the warmer climates. Why was it never a priority with you? I'm just curious.
This is a hardy living. You know, most of the great scientific and other advances made by mankind were made in northern climates. If you live in the south, you know, it's warm. You just, you know, you're probably sipping some kind of a drink sitting on the beach. You don't feel any need. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. You know, when you're locked in your house and it's cold, you're going to figure out something else.
I like
seasons. I like winter. I think winter is a great challenge. I think skating and skiing when I used to do lots of running, actually running in the cold weather was much more fun than running in the warm weather.
So you are saying that you're not saying that the people who live in the warm weather aren't hardy, are you?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, Tom's going to call and have a few choice words for you, Sandy.
Yeah, they're soft. Those people are soft.
You know, that's a funny thing to say, Sandy. But you know, we'll get through this, right? I mean, we've gotten through this. This is part of our DNA.
No, this is fantastic. I'm celebrating, actually. Not really.
Well,
I wouldn't say I'm that happy about it. But
what I am doing is trying to figure out just what coat I've got that's quite warm enough.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, there are people preparing to go up north. Some places, 2-3 feet of snow, and they're going to deer hunt.
Hunting.
And let me ask you: did you ever deer hunt?
I never deer hunted, and quite frankly, I the more I'm around nature, I look at these deer and think, God, they're really fantastic. I can't imagine shooting one, you know. They're so it's not, you know, I don't have to shoot the cows that I've sort of given up on meat, but I didn't have to shoot the cows I ate, so I didn't. I should have had the same feeling about them, but I'm not a. I did, bird hunting is as far as I got in terms of shooting animals, and then I shot some pheasant and felt them wiggling around in my pocket when I thought they were already done. And
wow,
and that was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not sure I even like this too much.
Yeah, you know, Sandy, never deer hunted. Got some folk I know who do, and so they've always told me it's a big party, right? I mean, you go in the woods and you bring some courage in a bottle with you, you know, alcohol.
And a gun.
Yeah.
What a great man.
You get drunk and shoot deer, Earl.
Yeah.
You know.
Talk about a good time.
That's great.
You know, but they have improved and done a better job. You know, you could go back years and, a lot of people would get shot and instead of the deer.
Now people get shot. They fall out of their deer stand with their gun and shoot themselves.
You know.
There's all kinds of ways you can have fun when you hunt, you know.
You know, I don't know, man. This is a guy thing, right? I mean, there's not a lot of women that go deer hunting.
Not near enough, probably.
Yeah. So all these guys go hang out. They're at the local bar in these places, in these towns, because that's kind of what it is. They go to kind of remote towns, right? I mean, and the local bar, they look forward to this. It's all year.
Yeah, I suspect some wives put the GPS on their husband to make sure that they actually are going out in the woods.
For the four-legged deer and not the two-legged deer.
Exactly.
It's an amazing thing. But you know, that's sport. And
here's one thing that's unusual. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's only in Wisconsin, but everyone in Wisconsin, no matter where you live, goes up north. We go up north from Milwaukee to places about as far north as Green Bay. And when you're in Green Bay, they talk about going up north.
Superior, then, yeah.
Yeah, they go up to, you know, up to Upper Michigan or something. I wonder, you know, does our kind of people just want to migrate to the north? You know, we have a north-south axis.
And colder, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the whole principle, going up north.
You know, I've been noticing, Sandy, maybe you can help me out because, you know, I'm just a black guy who doesn't know any better. I see these students walking around here going
in
to Carroll College.
Are you talking?
No, I mean, with no socks on.
Really?
Yeah, what is that about?
Like, their face is covered, but they just have no socks.
Yeah, and it's, man, it's all these young people. What is that? In the last few days, the really cold weather, no socks.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm just a dumb white guy. But I think the same thing. I watch college kids walking around in shorts, you know, in cold weather. Yeah. Too. Like, what's going on? Is some kind of a lower extremity? Maybe everyone's numb from the knees down.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. But I thought you might know. You were. Once a college kid.
Maybe the reason they do it is they're numb from the neck.
You know, you were once a college kid. Maybe that's what you did in New York when it was cold.
I was in Boston when I was in college, and I wore socks.
Oh, okay. That must be a new thing. But anyway, it's in a few days, things will warm up, and we can talk about many other things. A lot of things that we're going to be talking about today, Sandy. The football game last night. They still have, Sandy, 7 football games. Where do they go from here?
I think, is it 7 or 6?
6. Well, what is it? What is their record now?
They're 4-7.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I think they got 6 games left.
Where do they go from here?
They can't hit rock bottom.
Sandy's at a loss for words. I can't believe it.
I think they ought to pull their socks up. That's one thing.
I think we've got a young lady who's going to explain to us why they don't wear socks in the winter. But anyway, we've got to go to a break. I can't wait to get to that. Hang on. We got to go to a break. It's Monday. Oh.
It's Friday.
It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's.
Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 24 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered snow showers. Winds out of the west, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 14. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for snow showers, high of 23. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone lines. And Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning, Gene. How you doing?
Well, good morning, guys. This is a great show. I've been just laughing so hard. Earl, we're going to be the same age in a couple months here, and I just want to give you a little bit of history about hunting from the other side of the state.
Okay.
My grandfather, who had, let's see, 8 kids, and they lived in a field of sandburrs and things, and they went hunting, and they would hang their deer in the tree for the winter because that was their refrigerator, and they would, you know, eat the meat of the deer, and they just have good meat for quite a long time. And they go to my grandpa's, and there would be the deer hanging in the trees. And so all of those men in that family grew up, and they all went hunting, and they got their deer for the year. And it got to be kind of a tradition, I think. And everybody, you know, get all their stuff packed and where they're going to stay. Or a lot of people who live in the area would, you know, have everything ready, and then they'd be going out to their stand, and they're sitting out there all day long. And then at night, they go to the bars and see who's getting the deer and where the deer, you know, where they were finding the deer, because you got to find the deer before, you know, you get your meal. And I think now, you know, I think the tradition's, you know, losing a lot of people. However, when they get the deer now, they're donating, a lot of them are donating them to food pantries, and which is really helpful because a lot of people around here then get meat, you know, when it's real difficult. So, but you're right, though. Those guys are comical, and they love their hunting, and they live for this. And I think the stores do real good for all the new gear that they have, you know, and things like that. But I just had to add that because it started as a necessity, and I think that it continues as a tradition, although I think it's losing a lot, you know, of you know, it's charm because people don't like to shoot deer, and I have deer around me, and I just hope they hide at my place so that they, you know, don't get shot. I'll make a little whistle noise, like, come over here so you don't get shot. So anyway, you guys have a great day. I just love this show. Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Thank Bye. You for listening. You know, Sandy, the grandfathers and great-grandfathers of the hunters of today didn't have cameras that they can sit out and watch the deer, for the entire summer and spring and know who the deer are because they've got this video of the deer coming by. It's certainly a lot easier now, right?
I suspect it is. We probably also have more deer. I don't know. I mean, the deer are proliferating and prospering in today's world. So, yeah, I don't make any value judgment about deer
hunting. No, I'm not saying people should.
I know. I'm just not going to do it myself. And I think most people who deer hunt will tell you that they're going to eat the deer. I just haven't eaten much venison myself, and it's not what I'm going to rely on.
Well, so clearly there is conservation. Conservation is real. Conservation is needed. If they did not harvest the deer, it would be difficult for those areas where the deer live.
I think the scientists will tell you the reason we have so many deer is we don't have wolves. We've upset the whole food chain. And I read a thing that talked about how when you introduce wolves, you end up with a much healthier deer population and it changes waterways. It's got an unbelievable effect. But we've taken what was the most important animal predator out of the ecosystem, and it's changed things.
You know, Sandy, the system was so perfect. The ecosystem was so perfect the way it was set up. And, yeah, man has changed it, altered it. And when I hear people, because we're going to talk a little bit later on in the show about the ecosystem, we're going to talk about people who still don't believe that man has done any damage to the system. And clearly it's happened. But we're going to certainly talk about it a little bit. You know, Sandy, Elon Musk. We're going to talk about before we go to break. Here's a man who spent $44 billion to take over this project. I don't think he did his homework, Sandy. Do you?
Well, I don't know. I think he's impulsive. I think it was an impulsive, I think to him, I think he's one of these people where the challenge is more important than the money. And I think money, it's a little like playing a Monopoly game for him. And I think he decided it would be interesting and maybe from a socio-political standpoint, important, he thought, to take over Twitter and make changes. But yeah. It's hard. I think everyone scratched their head a little bit and tried to figure out why Twitter was worth a bunch of money, because its revenue stream is infinitesimal. It's not a big money generator. And so he paid a lot for it. Now he's trying to figure out how he can make it pay for itself and how he can get it to pay off the debt that he undertook to buy it.
So, his ego, Sandy, his ego got in the way, right?
It could well be his ego, or it could be just the kind of judgment that he exercises, where he wanted to make some kind of an impact, and he wasn't so worried about money. But yeah, his ego has maybe got in the way, or at least something got in the way of his making a hard financial judgment. He's clearly, and the workers at Twitter are now experiencing an extreme change.
So hold that thought, Sandy. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
We have a
full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's so glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Now, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the show.
In Ukraine, I'm Jackie Quinn with an AP News Minute. The head of Ukraine's electricity grids warning of hours-long power outages as Russia continues targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure with renewed artillery and missile strikes. About 40% of the population's affected by these outages, making food donations that much more critical, our Jennifer King reports.
Residents in the liberated city of Kherson, Ukraine, lined up for food donations from the back of a truck sent by World Central Kitchen, the charity run by Chef Jose Andres.
We have around 6,000-7,000 bags of food.
Meanwhile, Ukrainians are taking steps to bring back damaged utilities. In Mykolaiv, where there has been no tap water since April, the regional governor says the water supply will be back on once Kherson's electricity is restored.
Leaders in Kherson are asking the UN to gather evidence of torture and abuse against civilians. A top Ukrainian official says there were at least four torture sites. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Republican State Assembly members voted to bar Representative Janelle Branchon from their closed-door caucus meetings, citing a loss of trust. The letter, first obtained by WISP Politics, was sent to Branchon Friday, letting her know the vote was taken because of continual issues. No details were given on what those issues are. Branchon leads the Assembly Elections Committee and campaigned against Speaker Robin Voss during the midterms and has promoted conspiracy theories about the 2020 election and Wisconsin's election system. In a statement, Branchon called her colleagues' actions petty and said she supported Robin Voss's opponent because she doesn't believe Voss can unify the Republican Party. Her expulsion from GOP caucus meetings bars her from discussions on potential legislation or political strategies. Voss has also said it's unlikely Branchon will remain as chair of the Assembly's Election Committee. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
It's cause for cabs. You probably take me for a half.
You don't love me. You're a faker. You just want me for my acres.
All right. Welcome back to... So are we... where are we at, Sandy?
We were talking about Elon Musk.
I know. Welcome back to the Erlinger Show, as always.
You want to know where we were. What we were. You were really lost. I get it.
844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, Elon Musk.
So you have to understand, you know, when someone takes over a company like Elon Musk did, he put about half of his own money in and he borrowed the other half. And so... when you borrow money, you're going to have to pay back. You're going to have to pay it back. You have to pay interest. You got to pay back the principal. So you've got to start either coughing up more money out of your own pocket or generating the money out of the business you bought. So he's busily now trying to figure out how to generate more revenue out of Twitter than it was generating before he bought it, because it didn't have all that debt that it was dealing with before. This is a common problem with takeovers. And so, you know, I think what's happened here is that maybe he had a wake-up call and that he maybe didn't understand the extent to which the the tech industry generates revenue from ads in a manner that is difficult to comprehend exactly. Twitter isn't a natural vehicle for advertising. I've never noticed any sort of advertisements for I'm looking at Twitter. Have you?
I don't. Maybe I.
You don't tweet.
No, I don't tweet.
I don't tweet either. I can't really. I can't be very knowledgeable. But you know who might? Connor might know something about Twitter.
Yeah, I was gonna say because there really isn't. Like, there are ads advertisements on Twitter. They exist. It's just that they don't really get the same traffic as
like
other
Facebook.
Platforms. Like Facebook. Yeah. Like, because a lot of like it's mostly either a lot of memes or a lot of. Journalists and professional commentators talking about issues and things, so it's more of like a public forum for conversation, so there really isn't a lot of places to place ads in comparison to Instagram or Facebook, where people will literally spend like hours on the platform looking at content, you know, like watching videos, yeah. Watching musicians or artists or their favorite influencer. Twitter's more of a conversational space, so people don't have the time.
So I've heard the term. What is a meme?
A meme? It's just a repeated
Sandy,
joke.
Do you know what a meme is?
Well, not exactly.
Yeah, it's a repeated joke with some like significance.
I'm really disappointed, man. Sandy knows everything and he doesn't know what a meme is.
Yeah, and I gotta admit that I don't know everything.
Truth is
not a problem.
Good for being humble, Sandy.
Memes are what trolls do. I'm not sure what a troll is either.
Trolls don't do memes. Memes are funny. You guys gotta check out some funny memes. They're like half of my source of humor for the day.
I see.
Okay.
Well,
all right. So Sandy. So he's certainly cut the payroll in half, and now the people who he was counting on have told him, "Screw you. We're not. We'll just walk away."
Well, he did more than cut payroll in half. Yesterday, he sent out a memo to everyone saying, look, you might want to resign. You can resign with 3 months' pay. And incidentally, if you keep on working, I'm going to ask you to work long, hard hours. And, you know, it basically was saying, look, things are changing at Twitter. You're going to work your tails off here, and you're going to work as hard as I do. And I think a lot of people scratched their heads and said, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
So, Sandy, in the end, he's kind of painted himself into a corner. I mean, he doesn't know.
We'll see.
He's got access to a lot of different people, you know, who know a lot of different things and who can figure things out. Let's just be clear. He does have access to people like that. But it's going to take time for them to figure out the inner workings of a company like that.
Well, I think the question is genius fungible? Can a genius do anything? If a genius can do something with genius, can they do everything with genius? And he maybe is the guy trying to test that theory, because he clearly is genius. His, you know, 5 years ago, he was on the brink of bankruptcy with Tesla. 5 years later, he's the richest man in the world because he hung in there. He figured out how to do it. He was tenacious. He's imaginative. So I think he probably has this feeling that he can accomplish anything if he accomplished that. You know, he's accomplished putting things in space. You know, he's got, you know, the guy has got a capacity to accomplish a great deal. And so maybe he thinks he can do anything. And maybe this is the way you test fallibility, by finding out that you can't. But
Sandy, I guess a guy like that is kind of quirky, right? He's a quirky guy, right?
Well, yes, he's a self-described. He's described himself as being on the spectrum, as having a level of Asperger syndrome. He acknowledges that he's got a lot of differences about him. He's obviously extremely intelligent, extremely tenacious. has the capacity to be very successful. Now he's testing it, and it's kind of like someone who can fly deciding that they're going to dive to the bottom of the ocean. Maybe they can't swim.
And let's be honest. Let's say somehow Twitter fails. It's not exactly the end of the world, right? I don't know, Connor, is it? I don't know. You guys...
I mean, if Twitter failed tomorrow, I'd be smiling. I'd be very happy because Twitter is not a very nice place.
Really?
But yeah, it's not. I don't like Twitter very much. I mean, personally, I like it for news.
Twitter's, I mean, but to the extent that I'm familiar with Twitter, I don't quite understand it. The 142 letters or whatever the limit is, and the things that people say on the whole hashtag thing is... strikes me as being a little too faddish and not very content ridden. It's more like a very sarcastic jab. It's filled with sarcastic jabs.
Yeah, it gets to a point where you really, it's not like a very trustworthy place. Like the other day, RIP Jimmy Fallon started trending on Twitter, and then it's like he's not dead or anything, but it just started trending because it's just a trend, you know. It's just a sarcastic jab, like what you said. And but then Jimmy Fallon logs in, like, oh my god, am I dead or something? Like, that's scary. Well, you know, and that's one example. But
well, maybe that's why I'm not on Twitter. I mean, maybe
you're on Twitter. We're streaming on Twitter right now.
Oh well, okay. Well, maybe why I don't engage in Twitter.
I it'd be fun to see you engage in Twitter, Earl. I'd be.
Well, only if Sandy will pledge to do it.
Well, I've always enjoyed sarcasm, but I haven't enjoyed it in that context where everything is sarcastic.
No.
No, really, I think that is the medium that is Twitter. It is 100% cynicism and sarcasm, as far as I can tell.
I'm gonna go on it. This afternoon, Connor, because you said it.
It's like it's 50-50. Like, it's either going to be dead sarcasm or, like, real serious news. I get a lot of my news from Twitter, so you just got to control it. You know, pick the accounts you want.
Well, listen, how bad can it really be? I listen to Fox News sometimes. It can't be quite as bad as Fox News.
But you got a point.
Anyway, let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, if you do get on Twitter, please let us know your handle, because it would be very important.
At Earl Show, at Earl underscore show on Twitter.
Earl underscore show?
Yep.
Sandy, I have a handle.
I've
arrived. Yeah.
So, Earl, but here's the great thing about Twitter. Okay, first off, it does not take a genius to run Twitter. So Elon Musk is getting much more credit than he deserves for being a genius, because there is no genius. Jack might have been more of a genius, the guy who invented it in the first place. But Twitter, basically what it can do, which is a positive, is that it can broadcast a message out to a large group of people about politics and about what's going on.
Okay.
So as an example, I might have a hashtag on there called Get Money Out, right? Which is all about getting money out. There may be a politician on there. I mean, look, the thing that happened in Egypt, that would have never happened without Twitter.
Yeah.
Telling everyone to meet at the square.
Right.
Or whatever it was, that would have never happened without Twitter. So it's, for me, I don't really write a lot on Twitter, and I really don't, engage with anybody on Twitter in terms of, having like food fights with. What I do is I mainly retweet. So everyone that's following me, because I have about 4,000 followers, can actually get that same message out, which might be about getting money out of politics, or. What it's also good for is just supporting the people that that you like what it was that they wrote on a Twitter feed. So it might. So the main two things on Twitter are retweets and likes. Those are the two main things. And the thing is, it doesn't take, honestly, as much time in your life, because it is kind of surrounded around politics, than like Facebook. Facebook is more about, like, classmates, you know what I mean? It's more about getting together, talking, blah blah blah. Whereas Twitter's just, it's nice because it does give you only a certain amount of characters, So it's, and you can actually put on links on there as well, and you can put videos on there. But the thing is, you don't have to sit on there all day typing or feel like you have to. And I really don't feel like it's as, like Connor said, you can make it what it is, right? So you can, like me, I pretty much follow a lot of people that, or I don't even follow that many people, honestly. But the thing is, I'm in the community of people that, I want to know information from them so I can forward that to you. So as an example, if there's some type of voter suppression going on by Greg Palast, I could actually send that over to you, Earl, that you may not know about, and then maybe you can talk about that on the show.
So you would say that there is some value to Twitter.
Twitter is my favorite.
Yeah.
Twitter is my favorite. And I would say for entertainment, TikTok is my favorite. Because I can just watch videos, but I don't have to comment on them or anything like that.
That's right. I forgot. You're still a young guy. Sandy,
well, here's the other thing.
I'll vote for TikTok. I think TikTok is an interesting vehicle and gets more interesting because it's got a whole range of content that you can select from.
No, Sandy, you're on TikTok. I've never been on TikTok.
I'm not. But on TikTok. I don't broadcast on TikTok.
The problem with TikTok, though, is you have to actually make a video. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Twitter where you can just do a quick write and say, hey, make sure everyone get out to vote. GOTV. I did a lot with Souls to the Polls. I did a lot of Souls to the Polls, WI.org. So therefore, everyone that was in that follows me can actually find out more information about it, so therefore they can actually get involved in it. Hey, like I said, I use it more as a broadcasting tool than I do anything else.
Hey, Tom,
but I wanted to say one more thing, Earl, before I go. You were talking the other day about the, and I think it's something we really got to bring up more and more, is you were talking about the person that was hungry and homeless. And you were helping them out. Like I said, my income is closer to the person on the street than it is towards the billionaire. So the thing is, we need to take the money that was used for those elections and put it towards things like helping the homeless and helping that person that needed a meal, rather than putting Elon Musk, which is a simple company he's running, up in higher status. We need to actually look at these billionaire class, and if they would just pay their taxes, you know what? It might be a more equity type world.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Yeah. We got to go, man. Thank you very much for the call. But Sandy, I've got to catch up to you, man. You're on Twitter.
You're not on TikTok.
You've seen it.
Actually, I just want to say briefly, Tom's little summary there is the best education I've had so far on social media. People talk about it, and I've never really had it explained how it's used, but that was useful.
Yeah, it was. And now that I know you spent some time on TikTok, maybe I got to catch up with you, man. If you're on TikTok, it means I got to join it. Oh, I'm already on it. Connor says I'm already there. I got it.
Now I've seen you on it, Earl. We gotta take a break here.
Okay. You gotta go to a break. Maybe during the break, Connor can show me where that.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
The Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 24 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered snow showers. Winds out of the west 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 14. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for snow showers, high of 23. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently it's 21 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I know who that is. That's Prince.
That's Prince, yeah, I knew that too.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, can you explain to the listening audience where we are right now with... the debt ceiling, and what actually happens, and why is it that we're always at this crossroads with the debt ceiling? Why can't we fix that? Why do we always have to every year we're at the same place? Why can't we get that fixed?
Well, I mean, it has to do with the fact that the debt is the way we run our government, the way we operate. The debt is an ever expanding thing. So, you know, it's you set a ceiling, but you know that you're going to exceed that ceiling if you continue to operate in the same manner that you have for the past 75 years. And so instead of having an unlimited ceiling, they set it in increments. They set the increments relatively low so that they're pretty certain they're going to run into it again quite quickly. So it becomes a political tool that hopefully never gets used, because everyone understands that if we interrupted payments on our debt, we would put ourselves into a very dire position. So it's kind of like, it's like the punishment your parents would tell you they might, you know, we're going to ground you for 2 months if you do that. And they're never going to do that. You know they're not going to do that, and it's not really the deterrent they think it is, but it's a big threat. And so far, that's the way the whole debt limit has been treated by Congress. You know, they talk about interrupting debt payments, but they never do it, and it would be a very dire thing to do. We're going to continue to run into it as long as we have a ceiling imposed. And as long as we continue to operate as we do, and we will. I mean, we aren't ever probably going to operate with balanced budgets
ever again, huh?
Yeah.
You know, so the debt ceiling, they set a budget every year. The federal government sets their budget knowing that they're going to exceed it. But having
the budget normally has built into it a deficit. So the budget is the federal government is not required to pass a balanced budget, and it isn't passing balanced budgets. The budgets that they adopt have relatively well forecasted deficits that will be the result of that budget. And every annual budget isn't going to result in a breaking through the debt ceiling, but it's now happening with greater frequency because, quite frankly, our debt is expanding at a greater rate than it has in the past. we will be okay with expanding national debt so long as our GDP continues to grow materially at a material rate. It's much like a family taking on the mortgage for a more expensive home when the family's income goes up. It's okay to have more debt and a higher mortgage if your income is growing materially and you can afford it. So as long as our GDP grows enough, we can afford to have additional debt. We're going to have a problem if our GDP stops growing, shrinks, if we have a serious recession meaning a shrinking GDP, if we had a depression, meaning a substantially shrinking GDP, then the national debt becomes a bit of a dicey issue.
So the national debt, $31 trillion or whatever it is something that we can manage as a country. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's $1 trillion or $50 trillion, we'll still be able to handle it is because it's growing like that. I mean, in no time, it'll be $50
trillion. Well, the question is, what is the gross domestic product of our economy when it's $50 trillion? We couldn't have tolerated $31 trillion as national debt 60 years ago because our GDP wouldn't have been big enough to support it. But our GDP has grown substantially in that interim period so we can support a larger debt. So economists would say it's all about the relationship between GDP and debt. And, you know, that's simplified. It's oversimplifying the discussion, but that is the almost basic terms. That's the analysis that people that do, and that's the analysis economists do. We do have a problem with rising interest rates and inflation that drives interest rates up, drives up the cost of carrying the debt so that the amount of debt we can carry diminishes in the situation in which we have a higher prevailing interest rate. So $31 trillion could be comfortable with the current GDP, but if the federal interest rate were 20%, then we wouldn't be able to support that much debt.
So then what happens if going back to, I guess, the last time Jimmy Carter was president and that reality happened? So what would happen then?
Well, that reality happened at a time when the national debt really wasn't as large as it is now. We have had very material growth of it. Even as a percentage of GDP, we've had a growth of national debt since 1979, 1980. But at that time, you know, we had a serious recession, but we didn't have any threat that we were going to default. And none of this ever involves defaulting on federal obligations because we can meet the federal obligations with a stroke of a pen. You know.
So the reason I ask you, Sandy, is because, you know, it's always the Democrats and the Republicans, the Hatfields and the McCoys who clearly want to play games with this. We're not going to, you know, override it. We're not going to do this, and that's just bravado, I guess, is what you're saying.
Well, the national debt is something we owe for money we spent that's in the rearview mirror. We already spent.
No, I know about the national debt. I'm talking about Sandy, the overriding the debt ceiling.
Well, my point is that the debt ceiling has to be increased because of expenditures we've already made.
Okay,
so Congress trying to put a lid on the debt ceiling it's not even a very possible circumstance, right? Because the debt is already incurred. The obligation is already there. It would be a question of saying, basically, we're not going to pay our debts.
Which is not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday is with Sandy Williams. You two can join us. We'll got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
On November 2nd, 2022, WAUK Radio LLC, licensee of WAUK 540 Jackson, Wisconsin, filed an application with the Federal Communications Commission for assignment of license. Members of the public wishing to view this application or obtain information about how to file comments and petitions on the application can visit https://publicfiles.fcc.gov/ and search in the WAUK public inspection file.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media.